I'm exploring the world more than I ever wanted to. I probably would have gone further, been gone more often, if finances and time would have allowed me to be curious. I wish happiness and light to every listener, that you too will read more, endeavor to eat amazing food, hopefully locally sourced, and create happiness. Take my words as I explore books, movies, comfort foods, and my own short stories. As I write my own short stories, I should say. As I create my own joy, or at least try. Write with me if you like, and share with others if it brings you joy. Light and happiness for everyone. This is my wish for us this holiday season.
Welcome to the coronavirus update. What I'm giving my side eye to, everybody is still on quarantine because people are losing their mind. Coronavirus sucks. I think it's becoming worse than cancer.
This latest surge is being spearheaded by one of the variants, Omicron, that's set to take over to replace Delta. But don't get it twisted. Delta is still out here wreaking havoc. Delta is primarily responsible for the people that are not vaccinated or not fully vaccinated. And that's where Omicron, I call it Frankenronum, because there are so many breaks or errors in the protein that allows it to attach the cells and to infect its victims. It still seems to do an effective job of getting in and wreaking havoc. The severity of the disease is less if you're partially vaccinated, and even if you're fully vaccinated, you can still get a little bit sick. Case in point, two acquaintances of mine are quarantining because they have both been exposed. They themselves are fully vaccinated and boosted, and a COVID pod, I would call it, an individual that, I don't know, did it get through his mask? Did he slip up and not wash his hands before he touched his face or put something in his mouth? I don't know. This gentleman in Virginia is now quarantining with his family. And of course, they were even testing, and he kept forgetting to get tested after he started admitting, you know what? I've been a little sick for the past 2 days. When he finally takes the test, which rapidly comes back positive. And then the acquaintance's former husband, also contracts it at a socially distanced open air restaurant as he was going to a concert. Somebody probably lied and said that they were not infected, they phonied up at the test, or they lied about being vaccinated. And I say all of this to say that this virus is still running rampant because people are letting down their guard. And then people want to break quarantine, even though you know you can't. I mean, because of people like me, my latest travails with COVID, someone that I know, their relative tested positive, and they live in close quarters and wanted help me to help them enjoy one of my presents. Number one, if anyone knows me knows that my food, I dig my food, my drinks. I very rarely share anything with anyone, including my dog, for that reason. And excuse me. So I'm not going to risk, literally, when you go to visit some knowingly out in these streets, either close proximity to somebody with this virus or they've unwittingly exposed everyone to it, that could potentially get very ill. I want y'all to know, and I'm say this over and over again, I literally don't want to die. And I literally do not want to test the protection of corona, my vaccines that I got it. I'm fully boosted, granted, but I don't want to know that I could still get really, really ill with this virus. I hung up on her, but I had once somebody say, don't you want to serve your company, country? Don't you want to help the children? Not really, because if I got to die, who's going to speak for me? I am just really moving in my house good. I'm just adjusting to Alex's hectic life. And you want me to put all of that on the range for what? For people that don't give a damn, people that won't wash their hands, that won't isolate, that won't wear a mask at, or mask up appropriately. They're going to march on state seats of government with guns because they don't want their rights restricted, when they don't give a crap about you and yours and me and mine. No, I'm good. I think I'm missing that dedication to the practice of medicine, or it just became inactivated. I really like not getting sick. I really not having to go on Tamiflu prophylactically every year because I don't want to get so deathly ill from the flu. It took 1 year for me to have 103 temperature for 10 days and to have to repeat a clerkship because I missed so much time. So with that said, I don't feel compelled to put my life on the line. I am overweight. I do have hypertension. I do have mild asthma. Those things will make me consistently vulnerable to this virus. And how dare you ask me to risk my life so you don't won't be bored, or so you can enjoy something when you didn't do all you could have done to not get the virus in the first place? Am I victim shaming? Yeah, probably a little bit. But it's not up to me to make your existence easier or to entertain you when you didn't do all you could have done to protect you and yours. Because I got to protect me and mine. Also, a little bit of, I'm going to have to drop a little bit of coronavirus knowledge. How do these vaccines work? It basically forces your body to respond to make antibodies, which is first line of defense to protect you from the virus from attaching to the cells. And I also think it also acts as a scrubber function because the body can act like a filter to remove the virus before it can get in. The second line of defense is the natural killer cells as well as the T helper cells. The T helper cells are the ride or die bitches of the immune system because they help get rid of shit. And two, sometimes they are also infected and also can be killed off. But if your immune system is functioning well, like if you're not on immune suppressors, you don't have HIV, and you have normal levels of these cells, it should work, and it should work well. but the wily coronavirus does a good job of changing the game and hiding from the immune defenses. Some of the vaccines work better than others when it tries to change up the game too much. But with the exception of Johnson & Johnson, the two other messenger RNA vaccines of Moderna and Pfizer do a very spectacular job. I don't know too much about Sinopharm's vaccine, but I have a suspicion if it's very similar to the vaccines that we have over here, that particular vaccine may work in the same way as ours. I also have researched and found out that coronavirus, after you test positive, you will become negative. The virus, but an inactivated form of the virus may still shed in your secretions. It may not get people sick. They're not quite sure because it's so screwed up. It's not really active or alive anymore, but you still could potentially test positive from that. So with that said, if you people that know me, if you have tested positive or become infected, I'm going to need a couple of negative tests before I'm going to need to feel safe to be around you. And then since you can shed up to 3 months, whichever comes back first, 3 months or 2 negative tests. Because either way, again, I'm not going to knowingly expose myself to something when I know it could potentially kill me. And again, I don't want to test the protection of the vaccines that I got. I am not, your freedom and your wanting to socialize does not trump my ability to not want to be around a contagion that could potentially kill me. I don't think this Omicron ain't no joke. Delta is still running rampant. And the only way that we are going to beat this mess back is to isolate it and let the immune system work as it intended and keep it on lockdown, because we're never going to get out of this. Or we're going to be able to, once we gather up enough immunity, they do the changes based on boosters, because I think they're going to be start calling for another booster in 6 months or 3 months or whatever as this the variants take hold. Until it can get to the point of just having a bad cold and it can guaranteed that people with health problems like myself, we still have the ability to fight it off, and it's just like having a bad cold. We are not at that point yet where we can absolutely say that. I'm still working off of the fact that it is deadly until otherwise. So we're going to have to go through probably another year of getting another couple of boosters for us to get to the point where it's safe for that we can actually start to move around and start to gather a little bit more safely and not having to worry about it really being as bad as it really is. And also treatments that will actually help us. We got Tamiflu, and there's another flu medication that can absolutely treat the virus. The same thing needs to happen with coronavirus before I would feel that I'm not going to die every time I step foot out of my house. We're still too far in the midst of a pandemic to relax and fall back on our laurels. And entertainment and being around a group doesn't mean as much at all or nothing to me if I could potentially get something that could take me out. I'm sorry. I'm not going to travel. I'm not going to hang out with you until somebody is negative or 3 months after your first positivity. Just saying, chicks. Just saying. Dark matter anomalies and subspace rifts and wide fields. This is possibly some of the things that is a part of science fiction that they are investigating these themes on Star Trek Discovery, and I just realized that it is part of what Hubble has been investigating these 20, 30 years, as well as now what the James Webb Telescope will be investigating. The James Webb Telescope, one of the most powerful man-made telescope that we know of, launched successfully over Christmas yesterday from French Guiana. It's going to be investigating the origins of life and light, potentially. I thought some of the images from Hubble were all of that in a bowl of grits. Well, we're going to be able to see from this NASA collaboration with the ESA, the European Space Agency, as well as the Canadian Space Agency. I didn't even know Canada had a space agency, but go figure. I became enamored or interested in the TRAPPIST system by some artist renderings that I got off of NASA.gov. I put it into my first ever attempt to write my own scientific fan fiction. I'm planning on finishing that story eventually, but it was mentioned today, and the reason why I bring it up is that system is going to be able to be looked at more closely now that James Webb has gone up. They said it's going to take a couple of weeks before we receive any useful data, and that's if all parts of it deploy as effectively. And they basically have released a teaser reel on Instagram, where when you scan your phone, the QR code that is in this full page advertisement in the New York Times, you will actually find this reel, and then you get basically click on the highlighted systems to get more information. I included the one about the TRAPPIST system because of my connection and my use of that as a basis of a sci-fi story. Who knows? Maybe I will finish it. Maybe I'll get it edited. Maybe I'll get it published. Will it start as multi-part series? Maybe. Now that we're going to start getting some more information together. I'm also interested in expanding my knowledge. I think they're going to probably eventually decommission Hubble, but my thing was if they could get either replace or get the computer system back up and running, why can't that serve as a revolving space laboratory? We got the capability to use reusable booster rockets to get people to the space stations. Now we got two international space stations up there. Why can't we do like these? Let me back up. One of the cool things about the James Webb Telescope is the expandable wings that are very hard, very thin, but very hardcore for temperature stability, but also as a protection. So why can't we use that kind of expansive technology to add on to Hubble to allow it to be like living spheres and attached to and the maintenance of that telescope? That would actually be cool, because I still think Hubble has some life into it, and just for its very nature, where it is and what it does, it can become a type of space laboratory to extend the life of the International Space System, and also extend what we actually, the science we can actually create and recreate up there. We need to basically be where we are doing the experiments and to be able to make the observations and to make them applicable. You know what I mean? So that's what I think of when I see all of these things, the telescopes going in the air, what kind of information we could potentially be getting back, and just how wonderful and brilliant humankind is to look beyond our borders, borders being our planet, and to just seeking knowledge and bringing it back to share with the rest of the world. That's pretty daggum cool, and probably one of the coolest things I've read in today's paper. So I invite you to navigate to the QR tag and look at this 3D model of what James Webb, what our tax dollars have paid for James Webb, this telescope, to bring back this information. And it just basically shows you the beauty of our universe and our planet. And you can't beat that. I find it, it's absolutely phenomenal. But then again, I'm a nerd. So they're calling, or there are multiple shutdowns of great shows on Broadway, and the because of the this latest surge with Frank and Rona. And I find it sad, but it's necessary. I think I would be really ticked off if I was in my seat waiting for the Rockettes and the Winter Spectacular to come out, and they basically, the lights go up and they tell us to get the hell out because they had to cancel the show. But what has for me anyways, what I've noticed is that I have subscribed to a multitude of streaming services, not just Hulu and Prime and Netflix. I've got HBO Plus, Discovery Plus, and any of the associate Paramount Plus that will allow me to basically watch whatever I want. I mentioned Star Trek previously. I didn't even get too deep into doing a full recap show of Star Trek, even though I was had that as part of premium content, which I'm probably going to start up again after the first of the year. But there are other podcasts that do it, and they do it much better than myself. And they get, because they get paid to do it. So you get what you pay for. They expend the money. They get a premium show. So there you go. What makes me sad that is absolutely ending is the series by Issa Rae, Insecure. The last episode is drops today. And I don't think they actually premiere it until it's supposed to come on live. I guess you could watch it when they actually release it, but it's supposed to come live on the East Coast at 10 o'clock. And I am dutifully checking it to see maybe it is here early. And of course it isn't. I rewatched episode 9 again yesterday, and there again there is a whole after show that is absolutely dedicated, the wind down, as well as a podcast by one of my favorite podcast hosts, Crystal, and she alluded to they do a job, I'm hopeful, a good job of us finding out what happens to each and one of those characters. We know Issa Rae has multiple projects that are in the works. I want to know what happens to Molly and her love interest and all the work, positive work, that has come from her being in therapy. Kelly and her crazy ass. What happens to the bougie friend that moves to Denver? What happens to Lawrence? What happens to Nathan? You know, and what happens to she'd jump off Candola. I don't know if she's jump off or she just got caught out because Lawrence doesn't know how to use a condom and she can't take a pill, evidently. So with that said, They are supposed to do a really good wrap up of that. I'll probably talk more about that on next week's show, which will be the my first show of the year, and my thoughts on how, if what kind of job, if good job, if any, they did on wrapping up that series. I'm also watching, and almost to my chagrin, I find it interesting because I did not become a fan of Sex and the City until it actually had gone off of air, and then I could afford cable. I watched it with sincere interest when I was young, as when I was a younger woman, and now the idea of the skinny white woman roaming around and doing crazy shit in New York City, it doesn't really appeal to me at my weight and at my age at this time. I cannot even consider wearing a sneakers where the heels are too high, or too, the foam is too thick. I can't imagine rolling around in Louboutins causing that much trouble. What I do find disturbing is the fact that I don't know how they're going to deal with Big. I don't know his presence or and how they're going to rewrite the show now that Stanford has basically died. The way they wrote it out is he asked for a divorce and he follows some TikToker over to Japan. I don't know what that means. Why can't they handle it appropriately? You know what I mean? And does he just want to be written off the show where Anthony stays and he, his presence is still felt, like he's going to come back, but come back how? Dude is dead. And it was just like Big truly did die, but they were planning on, sounds like they were planning on bringing him back as a ghost. But he is, it's like he truly is dead too in real life, because he couldn't, he's handsy and couldn't help raping women back in the day. I know it was drunk, but at the same time, most drunk people don't rape people. So I don't know how they're going to deal with that. But I keep watching it just like a bad accident, because I want to find out what, how are they going to handle it, and if they're going to do a better job than Spat, the Samantha character had with Sarah Jessica Parker. Also, I'm hopeful that everyone had a great Christmas, because I know I did. That's how I spent most of my time, watching great movies, eating a great seafood soup that I'm going to probably be eating on. If you look at the pictures that are in the podcast notes, you'll also find that you can identify at least three different types of seafood, but you still are missing, are going to be off by maybe two or three. I'm just saying. And I did spend my afternoon, even though it was pretty cloudy, in my saltwater pool. That was probably the most thing I got. I'm still having some issues with my right knee, that warm water really just allowed me to move it around, and I increased the flexibility in a very fun way yesterday. And I wish I hadn't turned down the heater, because that gas heater cost a grip to keep that water at 85 degrees, because I would have been out there today. I didn't know it was going to be 70 degrees today, both yesterday and today, but who knew? So this is how, I mean, this is like first world problems, how I'm going to keep my pool heated, what I ate for dinner. And I feel blessed to be able to talk about this stuff, because I didn't know 3 or 4 years ago that I would ever have the opportunity to live and be safe where I am right now. That's the amazing thing. And I just want everybody to count their blessings. 2022 also was an extenuation of the shit show that was 2021. But we have so much to be happy about. We have so much, so many blessings to count. And the existence in the here and now and being able to look forward to another future is also probably what the one of the best things that we could ever imagine going forward. For a lot of people, it seems that this past year has been harder than it was last year. I mean, we entered into national and international lockdown because of the coronavirus, and a lot really has not changed in that respect. My extended isolation is, I say it's because of the surge, but I think it's a lot more than that. I really have no interest in being out, and just being vulnerable. I never quite felt this way. The feeling of exposure and the feeling of there being no control. And I think the virus, the pandemic itself has increased those feelings for whatever reason. I don't like to drive that much anymore because I realize that a lot of people don't really pay attention to what they're doing. They'll cut out in front of my truck, and it is a massive, I think it's a really big truck. I think someone backed into me, and it led to my back window getting cracked. My back window. Oh, that's the other thing. My truck was broken into in the middle of South Park, and I still have not forgiven Charlotte for that. The alarm was tripped, and nobody did anything at the hotel or their on-site security. So that was very annoying. The violation and the vulnerability was what really annoyed me. My car has been gone through, I think, at least twice when I was on Mississippi Avenue, but they didn't break the window out. They didn't damage my property. I avoid going out for one of the major reasons is because, number one, I don't want anybody to breathe on me, and then I don't really want to accidentally touch something and get infected. I don't want to ask questions or answer or explain my existence or why I still need to exist to anybody. And the feelings of isolation and the anxiety has got people tripping in this past year, probably more so because of all of the uncertainty, but definitely because of the loss. And I don't really like to focus on that, but I think I am, because I thought it is very seldom that I flip through the entire New York magazine, because some of their articles and what their themes are, it just doesn't interest me. So I don't necessarily read it. But this Sunday's New York magazine was compelling because it was a homage to all of the great entertainers, politicians, authors that have passed away. At the top of it is DMX, Beverly Cleary, great artist, a great writer, Larry King. Some of these people I forgot died, which is really sad. I did not forget Colin Powell passed away, because he passed away from breakthrough COVID. He had not been boosted yet. And I do believe his death propelled the FDA to open up not just encourage boosters, but allow everyone to get it, because there's still evidently 39 million people that are now going to truly be refusing to even get vaccinated. And they've changed their stance or recommending the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but oh well. I forgot that Cloris Leachman had passed away. I did not forget that Michael K. Williams of Omar and The Wire fame, and I think he died of an accidental overdose, because for whatever reason, I don't understand why they're spiking drugs with fentanyl, and it's killing people. Mary Wilson from The Supremes, she passed away. Christopher Plummer, Willie Garson. Ooh, I forgot. Melvin Van Peebles. Mario Van Peebles' father passed away. I just watched him as his younger self, suave, debonair self, on Living Single not too long ago, when he was dating Regine, while she was dating the younger son too. She was trying to juggle. Nobody does that. Most people don't do that crap in real life, but she tried it. And so I also find myself reflecting on a lot of the great reads that I've absolutely been able to enjoy this past year. Where is my... I did a lot of reading by application. So it's just going to take me a minute to pull some things up. My must reads. I read Our Kind of People. Well, most of it, because I was absolutely into the show of the same name. I was more so into the fashion and the hair. There was The Deadliest Enemy that I got for a book club that I never read. The Viscount Who Loved Me, that was from the same author. It's from the Bridgerton series that got my episode kicked off of Spotify, because I did not have her permission to read it. But I absolutely, that encouraged me to basically write my own stuff so I could read it in total. And it's copyrighted and it is owned by me, so I can read it on my show if I want to. Where is my Kindle? Do some Kindle? I think I did. I started reading Be Not Afraid. I downloaded a whole bunch of Star Trek fan fiction, some next gen stuff, and a lot of stuff from Deep Space Nine, because I planned on doing like a deeper dive in Quark's Bar. I have the trivia quiz book that I had bought. I also, that's some of those books are from last year, so I won't belabor that. And then I have a whole bunch of books that I read that I have the hard copy for, and it's going to take me a minute to, let's see, I think I can actually pull it up, because a lot of my stuff, I have my online bookstore that My online bookstore that I have, I'm like my best customer when you think about it, because it's crazy that the vast majority of my sales most recently have all been me. I think the last time anybody bought anything from me, actually all of these were from me, so there you go. But over the past year, if I have bought a book, it's because I wanted to read it. And why not? Why buy it from anybody but myself? I bought John Bonner's book, On the House, and got to ask him a direct question in his online, one of the online Zoom sessions, which was very cool. They read it and he answered it. This is just recently. I have, of course, the New York Times book review, the compilation. I got Milk Street Tuesday Nights, The Mediterranean, and I also bought the works of Alice Childress. I was a book buying fool in November, right? And then Walk With Me. This is the autobiography of Fannie Lou Hammer. She's a Mississippi sharecropper that was instrumental in the voting rights, how she was kicked off of her share because the owner of the land found out that they had gone and tried to register to vote. And she lost her livelihood because of that. Audible. I still have multiple books that I've absolutely downloaded and listened to from start to finish. I have not finished Wonderland yet. That's from Star Trek Discovery. I was listening to Serena Williams' book by Marlisa Lawrence Corbett. Just As I Am, I bought and read that book and had signed up for this is Cicely Tyson's book, and how she passed away basically the same day as the question and answer, and she had all these projects, etc., in the hopper, and she wasn't finished yet. She had just started getting started at 95. That was probably one of the best books that I've absolutely had the pleasure of listening to, as well as reading. I also downloaded and listened to Will Smith's book because it was a multimedia entertainment. It was like a podcast with just starring Will Smith. And why would you not expect anything less from Mike Lowry? If any book that you get besides Cicely Tyson's book, and maybe even the John Bonner's book, I would get Will Smith's new book. I would definitely listen to it because it's quite entertaining. But I would also come up off the cash and buy the hard copy because I think it's not true made from a TV movie, but it is his life and everything that you perceived of him, who he was about. This book gives you more tea and from his perspective. And I still wonder, because he worked so hard to develop this persona, you know, how much of what he allows us to see or he reveals in this book is true. And why wouldn't you believe him? But it's hard to basically verbalize and capture a life ill lived or well lived from a finite amount, because he's still living. So I think it's still, it's a thick book, but I still think there's much deeper and more to go. And it basically screams for a sequel, because I honestly think it only gives you, still only scratches the surface. There's still a lot of other deeper things in there that he just didn't have time or room to reveal. You can't do it all in one volume. A life that's lived out loud that like that does give you some perspective on the decisions that he made with the raising of his kids, how and why he and Jada are still together, and why he made some of the decisions in his career and in his life that he did. It did give some insight into that as much as autobiography can, or about a biography can. It's basically a chronology of Will Smith, but it still only scratches the surface. And I honestly think it was well read, and written. And he's a smart kid, you know. He could have been did literature or been an English professor, but I don't think that was his. That was not his truth, and that was never going to be his life. He was never going to be a behind the scenes support cast. That's not what he wanted, and that's not what he went for, but he did live his life spectacularly. So I do recommend that book, as well as Cicely Tyson's biography. So what all am I writing? I have the pleasure of having a Patreon site that no one, unfortunately, has signed up as a Patreon, which would be kind of cool, but, you know, all is well. It's all good. That see, first I'm logging in because I started this short story series that you can absolutely read in its entirety on by subscribing to Tim Froewis Reading's Patreon page. That's where you can get your premium content, but I also use it as part as part and parcel of what I actually supply to my website. And I've gotten a couple likes from just publishing like a paragraph or two, but to read all 2,000 words or so, you have to be a full subscriber to get the full effect. So, this is Four Bridges Over Chattanooga, and it truly, to me, it is my work, but it's also a celebration of the fact of that I love where I live. I love Chattanooga from my perspective, from my corner of it. Don't get it twisted. I don't like the fact that Southside still has shootings. I don't like the fact that people are still disrespectful and they can't drive in the county. They won't wear a mask and they won't get vaccinated. I don't like that part. But as far as my little corner of it, I'm good. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that I get to sit on my back porch in the sun, because it is unseasonably warm, and enjoy the day in peace. So this is Four Bridges Over Chattanooga, part 4. We have worked too hard to be basic bitches. The perspective is from Big Mama Wanda Berg. Jackie and I stand watching the CBS News as they report the rise in COVID cases and the Frank and Rona raising her head. J Jackie asked tentatively. You think we're headed back to a shutdown? I take a deep breath, letting it out, counting backward from 100, trying to calm down before. We finally get back into the black, and this hoe, Frank and Rona, comes calling with her hand out to choke our asses. Jackie says she's worse than Grace, referring to her begging mother, my surviving child. Both of them say, right, and laugh. Jackie, we have worked too hard to be basic bitches. We have to up our game. I walk to the back of Hot Diggity. We have to become part of the solution. Storage for vaccine testing. Jackie taps away on her computer. There are some test swabs FDA is not recommending. Boxes available for the good rapid test at Walgreens and Amazon the next day. I say, let's switch to in-store dialing only if clear enough for the rooftop. You have to be rapid test for all viewing parties and NFL tailgates. Jack sends out notices. Send out notices to regulars and post changes on social media to see what the response is. And respond, everyone did. An overwhelming show of support from regulars and fans. But the trolls, sovereign citizens, and HOTEP conspirators came out in force. The most disturbing from a Tennessee-grown right-wing KKK militia threatening to intimidate anyone getting tested or submitting to mass mandates. In my ire, I answered, we live in an open and permitless carry state. Bring it, you mouth-breathing cowards. The post retweeted and reposted a million times. I immediately went to the courthouse with intention for a restraining order and to follow up on comments. When I noticed a group of tattooed skinhead looking thugs, I stopped squinting and noticed a center not so skinhead looking mug and screamed out Kevin's name. Kevin, the most badass civil rights attorney, lawyer, staunch ally, and just all around fantastic. He looks like a skinhead with the sleeves of tattoos, but his piercing emerald green eyes belie a heart of gold and a mind suited to the intricacies of law. We embrace and I shake hands of his partners, all avid motorcycle riders, four of the six being very masculine, pierced, intimidating women. Brilliant minds not to be fucked with. Kevin, I checked a couple of things. First, I checked the status of your permit and it's in order here. Handing me several Police Benevolent Society donation stickers for my truck. But put these on immediately. I made sure more ammo will arrive in the next few days. Chatter on dark web is alarming enough. We have to talk about security. I say, seriously, do they want to make a move on us? Kevin says, they are more insidious. They have moved on you. Shipment disruptions, service disruptions, going after anyone who helps you with the support of higher ups in government. We have to always be on 200 and vigilant, and these fragile white folks and black male egos can't stand a sister on a grind. It's annoying. Then I load the magazine of my semi-auto, retract the slide, loading the first bullet in the chamber, and I adjust my mask. Asking one of the partners, watch my gun, let's get these restraining orders, I'm tired of these fools. She answers her phone on the second ring, I should put later that day, and before he can get out a greeting, I blurt out, you don't want to talk shit to me right now, I've just had a bologna and barbecue potato chip sandwich. Vance swallows a laugh, please don't tell anybody else that you ate that. Please don't tell your cardiologist or me you ate that. I say, I have some Trump or insurrectionist wannabe 2.0 MFers that want to take us out because we want to keep everybody safe and corona free. I'm allowed to eat this shit 3 times a year, now 4 this year because of these dumb MFers here in Chattanooga, so stop it. I take a large, loud bite of my salmon and it was chewing and crunching. Vance letting me blow off steam takes a sip of water or that sludgy green juice he swears by. And then I say, I refuse to focus on crazy negative things. I can't control others' perspective, motives, or emotions. I only have control of my response to their actions. Don't mistake my calmness and kindness for weakness because I can and will go ghetto to protect myself and others if necessary. Trust. And then I say, do you remember Kevin from the old neighborhood? And Vance says, white boy Kev, the most gangsta dude in the hood. We both played at Florida State. I went to the NFL and he went on to UF law, civil rights. Yo, is he in town? Is he repping you? I say, an unfortunate reunion, but necessary. You know, he and his partners riding around on Harleys looking like a section of the Hell's Angels and tattooed, but all the best defense attorneys in the South. And Kevin is after these paramilitary racist mugs. Do you know I tutored him once we got to Florida State? He was having an issue with concepts with political science, and in some way, it vibes with me that in philosophy courses. He would say all the time I could explain it and make it plain, and he strives to do the same thing, and he must have been more successful with it, and he was able to apply it because we got the same grades, but it was enough to get him into his law school career. I asked, do you ever regret not going into law? Vance, actually, once I retired from the NFL, or even during my time in the NFL, I would take class graduate level twice a year and got my PhD in poli sci and civil rights actions from Texas A&M about 8 years ago. I tell him, it's not so shocking. You were and are the smartest. Vance said, I get used to it. I'm not a lawyer per se. Correct that. But I know I only work as an assistant defensive coordinator because I also work with the league with its ethics and rules. The nerd in me cries out for more. So I also assist the university system as it deals with athletes in laws and ethics, what they call standards and procedures. Kind of suits me, and I do find it fun. I know, nerd alert, right? I say affectionately, the best of nerd alerts, and it does suit you. I involuntarily scratch my face, wondering if he had the free spirit of donating his resources, his talent, and time like a sucker. But true to form, Vance answers my questions by reading my mind, being the true Southside Negro I know. He was never far from the game, never far from the hustle, and I was so proud that I knew him. Yeah, girl, I ain't crazy, and I don't do it for free. I get paid a grip. And they say simultaneously, choices. Vance, hey, what are you doing for Christmas? I answer, I was thinking about that. I love the views of your penthouse of the Trinity Bridge and River and all of downtown Dallas. Vance laughs, but that's just not me. Aren't your kids or your family coming to visit? Vance, well, my daughter refuses to speak to me because I threatened to knock her son the fuck out if he raised his hand to her again. He was in juvie in Marietta last I heard, and my sons got into a fist fight the last time they were together because the youngest had started dating the oldest ex-wives. I say incredibly, I'm sorry, wives. Vance, I can't make this ghetto shit up. Wanda shrieks laughter, and the last time I had my family over for the holidays, I got robbed. You know, I just got my Super Bowl ring back, and I say, yeah, I saw something in the paper. Your brother was real stupid thinking he could get away with you trying to hawk it in Memphis. Vance, that's the crazy thing. He sold it to a drug dealer whose fam we went to school with. Do you remember Big Shat Baker? I say, OMG, that kid was just a wall, black and mean. Vance, yep, he didn't hurt his knee, I know we would have played together in an NFL. He dropped out of FSU, floated around for a while before ending up in Memphis working for the city. His nephew, that is who my brother sold the ring to, said he worked there his entire life, actually had a heart attack while training someone. He pulled this old picture of Big Shad out of his pocket of him and this kid's father and another relative with my jersey on. He was a baby in the picture. He wouldn't take any money back for my ring, just said we were square, saying his uncle would never hear of it. But he asked me to autograph one of the jerseys and took some pictures. I ended up sending a game-worn autographed shirt of Aikman's, and he wilded it out. Evidently, he wears that one, and mine he framed. Wanda sniffs, moved by the story. Well, of course I can't go there. Come to Tennessee. The house and all the Frasier is decorated. Every light is up waiting to be inspected. I need my Wonder Bread hot link buddy in town. We even have your kids visit one at a time. You know that juvenile delinquent is behind bars. I think we can all visit him and talk to those other young men. Vance, I would like that, tapping on his iPad. I can be there on American Saturday and stay through the new year if you don't think you'll get tired of me. No, that's about right. Besides, I will put your ass out if you work my nerves. Vance, maybe my kids will act right if they are in neutral territory. And then both of us say, nah, not happening. And this is how Wanda Bird and Vance Carter would start a long-lasting holiday tradition, spending it together, mixing and matching, and swapping out family members and close friends. This holiday season would never be the same or lonely for anyone that knew the couple ever again. And part five is going to be, the truth will set you free only if you, the hoe, spill in the tea. That's Abel Bird said any given day. And that's how I'm going to end my read of my work, Four Bridges Over Chattanooga. I hope the story that I paint of these fictional characters draws you into their world. That's the late, great Johnny Hathaway, This Christmas. I am excited about this being my last podcast of the year. I'm going to continue to move content from Podbean platform onto the free Anchor FM and therefore on the Spotify. I'm just excited about the prospect of a new year, the ending of a year that was more psychologically trying than 2020. I think it was an extension of the shit show that was 2020 because the pandemic seems to be ongoing, but we can't let down our guard. I can only tell you guys to get your vaccine, get boosted. Do what you got to do to protect you and yours from this virus, because it is a truly a preventable condition if we just would cooperate and do what we need to do. I look forward to bringing more content, being creative, being encouraging to everyone that wants to listen to my podcast. I hope you will seek me out on wherever you listen and get to what my thoughts are as far as nerd news, science, not too much fashion because I don't care about fashion, but just what people in the South my age do that's entertaining. I want you to follow me as I go on to continue to try to be a better version of myself. And that's all we can do, right? Check me out on DalesAngelsInc.com, my Dales Angels Inc. blog, as well as on Instagram as Tim Fro is Reading. I'm limited on Facebook. I'm mostly on Instagram and Twitter now. And I hope you have a happy and glorious new year. I hope your Christmas, you got everything that you want, and then you have the means to get what you want. And don't let anybody rain on your parade. And if nobody's throwing parade for you, create that bitch yourself, girl. That's how I'm going to leave it. I wish everyone light, happiness, peace, and joy in this new year. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I'll see you next week. Merry Christmas.